Has that thing got a speaker? Preacher asked. No, Lane said. What about in the office? I can't do it. It would be a change. It would unsettle them. The phone didn't ring. Hang in there, Reacher said. In her apartment across the street, the woman who had been watching the building picked up her phone and dialed. Chapter 12. The woman across the street was called Patricia Joseph, Patty, to her few remaining friends, and she was dialing an NYPD detective named Brewer. She had his home number. He answered on the second ring.
I've got some activity to report, Patty said.
Brewer didn't ask who his caller was. He didn't need to. He knew Patty Joseph's voice about as well as he knew anybody's.
Go ahead.
There's a new character on the scene.
Who?
I don't have a name for him yet.
Description?
Very tall, heavily built, like a real brawler. He's in his late 30s or early 40s. Short, fair hair, blue eyes. He showed up late last night.
One of them?
He doesn't dress like them, and he's much bigger than the rest, but he acts like them.
Acts? What have you seen him do?
The way he walks, the way he moves, the way he holds himself.
So you think he's ex-military, too?
Almost certainly.
Okay. Good work. Anything else?
One thing, Patty Joseph said. I haven't seen the wife or the daughter in a couple of days.
Inside the Dakota living room, the phone rang at what Reacher figured was 5 o'clock exactly. Lane snatched the receiver out of the cradle and clamped it to his ear. Reacher heard the drone and squawk of the electronic machine, faint and muffled. Lane said, "Put K down." And there was a long, long pause. Then a woman's voice, loud and clear, but not calm. Lane closed his eyes. Then the electronic squawk came back, and Lane opened his eyes again. The squawk droned on for a whole minute. Lane listened, his face working, his eyes moving. Then the call ended, just cut off before Lane had a chance to say anything more. He put the receiver back in the cradle. His face was half filled with hope, half filled with despair. "They want more money," he said. "Instructions in an hour." "Maybe I should get down there right now," Reacher said. "Maybe they'll throw us a curveball by changing the time interval." But Lane was already shaking his head. "They already threw us a different kind of curveball. They said they're changing the whole procedure. It's not going to be the same as before." Silence in the room.
"Is Mrs. Lane okay?"
Gregory asked. Lane said, "There was a lot of fear in her voice." "What about the guy's voice?" Reacher asked. "Anything?" "It was disguised, same as always. But beyond the sound. Think about this call and all the other calls. Word choice, word order, cadence, rhythm, flow. Is it an American or a foreigner? Why would it be a foreigner? Your line of work. If you've got enemies, some of them might be foreign. It's an American, I think." He closed his eyes again and concentrated. His lips moved like he was replaying conversations in his head. "Yes. American. Certainly a native speaker. No stumbles. Never any weird or unusual words. Just normal. Like you would hear all the time. Same guy every time." "I think so. What about this time? Anything different? Mood? Tension? Is he still in control or is he losing it?" "He sounded okay. Relieved. Even." Then he paused. "Like this whole thing was nearly over. Like this might be the final installment." "It's too soon," Reacher said. "We're not even close yet." "They're calling the shots," Lane said. Nobody spoke.
"So what do we do now?"
Gregory asked. "We wait," Reacher said. 56 minutes.
"I'm sick of waiting," Groom said.
"It's all we can do," Lane said. "We wait for instructions and we obey them." "How much money?" Reacher asked. 10? Lane looked right at him.
"Guess again."
"More?"
4.5.
"That's what they want. $4,500,000 U.S. dollars. In a bag." Chapter 13. Reacher spent the remaining 55 minutes puzzling over the choice of a mount. It was a bizarre figure, a bizarre progression. 1, 5, 4.5. Altogether, $10.5 million. It felt like a destination figure, like the end of a road. But it was a bizarre total. Why stop there? It made no sense at all. But did it? "They know you," he said to Lane. "But maybe not all that well. As it happens, you could afford more, but maybe they don't fully appreciate that. So was there a time when $10.5 million was all the cash you had?" But Lane just said, "No." "Could someone out there have that impression?" "No," Lane said again. "I've had less and I've had more." "But you've never had exactly 10.5. "No," Lane said for the third time. "There's absolutely no reason for anyone to believe that they're cleaning me out at 10.5. So Reacher gave it up and just waited for the phone to ring. It rang right on time, at 6 in the evening. Lane picked it up and listened. He didn't speak. He didn't ask for Kate. Reacher figured he had learned that the privilege of hearing his wife's voice was reserved for the first call in any given sequence, the demand call, not the instruction call. This instruction call lasted less than 2 minutes. Then the electronic squawk cut off abruptly, and Lane put the receiver back in the cradle and gave a bitter little half-smile, like he was reluctantly admiring a hated opponent's skill. "This is the final installment. After this, it's over. They promise I get her back." Too soon, Reacher thought. Ain't going to happen. Gregory asked, "What do we do?" "1 hour from now, one man leaves here alone with the money in the black BMW and cruises anywhere he wants. He'll be carrying my cell phone, and he'll get a call anywhere between 1 and 20 minutes into the ride. He'll be given a destination. He's to keep the line open from that point on, so they know he's not conversing with anyone else in the car, or on any other phones, or on any kind of a radio net. He'll drive to the destination he's been given. He'll find the Jaguar parked on the street there, the car that Taylor drove Kate in the first morning. It'll be unlocked. He's to put the money on the back seat and drive away and not look back. Any chase cars, any coordination with anyone else, and he tricks it all. And Kate dies." "They've got your cell phone number?" Reacher asked. "Kate will have given it to them." "I'll be the driver," Gregory said, "if you want." "No," Lane said, "I want you here."
"I'll do it," Burke said, the black guy.
Lane nodded.